Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text today, both from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, in which he says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Pay to all what is owed to them." And from the Gospel reading, in which Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." This is our text. I know you don't need me to tell you that we're in an election year. The signs of it are everywhere and growing. Political ads, phone surveys, headline news, bumper stickers, yard signs, and all the other signs are there too. You probably noticed them as well. The tension and anxiety, the bitterness and anger, the insults and hurt. And we all know there are deep divisions in our society, but there's something that concerns me, something that I'm actually afraid of in this season. It's that these deep political divisions so easily creep into the church, that they overshadow our identity in Christ, and that they too often cause a rift between us as Christians. It's no surprise that we won't see eye to eye or get along with everyone in the world, but we should be able to live together as Christians. When we step into the ballot box in November, and I say that because it is our duty to vote, we will do so as Christians. You cannot check your faith at the door. God's word doesn't tell us exactly who or what to vote for, but it is clear about right and wrong. It provides a standard against which to measure candidates and platforms. Which ones align most closely with the truth of God's created order, with his revealed law, and with his purposes for governing authorities? Because all fall short of God's standard to varying degrees, our consciences may lead us to different conclusions, and as Christians, we should be able to discuss these things with one another. We should be able to discuss them clearly and calmly, not on social media, but maybe over a cup of coffee. And if we as Christians aren't able to do that, then who can? Why would we expect the world to do any better in talking about these divisive things? So let's remember, first of all, as we head to November, the unity that we have in Christ and in God's word, and that it's a deeper thing than any political differences we have. We are, first of all, brothers and sisters in Christ, baptized and redeemed children of God. Now, I'm not going to be talking simply about voting and elections for the entire sermon, but I say this because the reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans is all about governing authorities, an unavoidable theme at this time of year. So this is the thing, the main theme that I want to have in your ears. Because God loves and cares for us and all sinners, he rules over us in two kingdoms, through governing authorities and through the church. The first thing to remember is this, that sin makes governing authorities and the church necessary for society. In Romans chapter 12, which we heard last week, although you may not have it right on the front of your mind, St. Paul strongly and repeatedly said that private revenge is forbidden, absolutely forbidden for Christians. You may not take revenge on someone who has harmed you. But this doesn't mean that God doesn't care about evil. It doesn't mean that God wants society to collapse into chaos, where bullies and power brokers get to do whatever they want and get away with it. No, God cares about order in our society. When someone commits murder or even a serious robbery, and this is true not only in our country, but even in the worst governed societies in the world, everyone affected wants good authorities to find the culprit and administer justice. It is a basic human instinct and a good one that we desire such things. We can't live and we cannot thrive in chaos. We desire an ordered, properly functioning society. In fact, I would suggest to you that this also is behind the founding of our own government. James Madison recognized something similar. He said, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. Men and women, of course, aren't angels. Neither are children, despite what we sometimes say about those cute little angels. Because we are not angels, but sinners, governing authorities are necessary. At home, at school, in the workplace, and in society. Order is part of God's creation. The other part of it that we see in our world is because of the fall. Order is there from the creation, but coercion, threats, the use of force to maintain that order, that is a result of the fall into sin. In Romans 13, St. Paul instructs us as Christians on faithful and appropriate attitudes and behaviors in our earthly relationships, and especially toward governing authorities. He begins with this sort of blanket statement: let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Even when Christians aren't well regarded in society, we must not add to that a reputation for being troublemakers or dissidents or uncooperative. We are always, St. Paul says, to obey the law, with one exception, except when the law of the land comes into conflict with what God commands. Only in that exception can we say what St. Peter said: we must obey God rather than men. But because Jesus is the true Lord, our true Lord, and the true Lord of all things, we don't need to go making unnecessary quarrels. We don't need to be stirring up problems with the lesser lords in Jesus' name. We follow Christ by taking our proper place under the governing authorities, by being subject to them, as long as it doesn't conflict with what God commands. At the same time, we also know this: that while governing authorities exist because of sin, they aren't the ultimate answer for sin. If men were angels, you could say, no forgiveness would be necessary. But just as the governing authorities are needed because of sin, the church is also needed because of sin. Forgiveness of sins is a tremendous need that we have and that our world has. And so we believe that in the Christian church, God the Holy Spirit daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. God loves and cares for us and for the world by restraining sin through governing authorities, and also by forgiving and changing sinners through the church. There is no authority except from God, St. Paul wrote, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. We must acknowledge and believe that governing authorities are a gift of God. In the first article of the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Governing authorities are one of the ways in which God defends, preserves, and provides for us in our lives. Defends, preserves, and provides for this creation that he has made. When they rightly serve as a terror to bad conduct, when they use the sword to restrain and punish sin, good government is a means by which God provides us with peace, order, and stability, so that we can lead quiet and peaceable lives. Now, we should be clear that when St. Paul calls the governing authorities servants of God, he doesn't mean that everything they do all the time is good or right. When he says that they bear the sword and carry out God's wrath on the wrongdoer, it doesn't mean that every single instance has God's stamp of approval. He doesn't mean that they always bear the sword rightly or well. It doesn't mean that everything our rulers do is good or right or just or true. There may be times when obedience to God's word, as I said, requires disobedience to the authorities. When those times come, however, we also have to be ready to suffer the consequences. We ought to ask before we ever disobey the authorities, is this something that God would have me disobey the authorities over and suffer these consequences for it. When the governing authorities are unjust, when they are bad, when they are wrong, there are other things we can do. We obey them as much as we can, and we work through legal means for change. After all, those who govern are no angels either. James Madison also said, if angels were to govern men, if we had angels ruling over us, we wouldn't need any controls on government because they do it perfectly. But in our system, angels are not ruling. We do need checks and balances, and St. Paul actually points us to something even higher than the checks and balances that we think of in our country. Because governing authorities are from God, they are also accountable to God. That's something perhaps that we've forgotten. In our country, we always think of the governing authorities being accountable to we, the people, and that is the way our Constitution is designed. But St. Paul says they also are accountable to a higher authority, to God himself. Also, governing authorities don't get to decide what is good or bad, what is right or wrong. These things are determined by God's word and by his will. He's the one who names what is evil and what is good. So St. Paul makes clear that authorities are ministers of God when they attend to the very things that God gives them to do, when they recognize what God calls good and what God calls evil, and when they recognize that they are under his authority to approve the good and to punish those who do evil. We know, of course, that this is simply a sort of temporary remedy in our world. We know that no matter how good a government is or how good the governing authorities may be, that they are not able to make real change in the hearts of people. Christ comes in his church to do what no governing authority can do. He not only forgives sins, but he also makes a new creation. As St. Paul says, in Christ you are a new creation. In baptism, you have died to sin, and you are raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. As we think about God ruling in these two realms, in the state and in the church, we also think about the end for which he does these things. Where are we headed with these things? With the best governing authorities, with the best government that we can possibly have, the best we can hope for is quietness and peace and order. But with Christ ruling over the church, we are headed for something far better. We know that there is more than just a life that is led peaceably and well in this world because we look forward to the life of the world to come. And indeed, we could say that the instructions that St. Paul gives here, both for Christians and for ruling authorities, are here in order ultimately to serve the church. Why does God desire that we have peace and order and stability in our lives? Why does he want us to thrive and to live? One of the reasons is so that the word of God can be shared and spread, so that the good news of Jesus Christ can be proclaimed, so that sinners can not only be restrained from their sin, but can be called to repentance and be given the forgiveness of sins. This also is the purpose of having a good government. It provides the conditions in which the church can flourish. It provides the conditions in which Jesus can forgive sins. Maybe you've heard me say before that in times of martyrdom or persecution, the church flourishes. I do believe that's true, but I think we can romanticize that too much. I don't think it's particularly easy for the church to flourish when there is persecution. When Christians are being scattered and pastors are being killed, it isn't good. When there is peace and order, we can proclaim God's word freely and without repercussion. We can call people to repentance and we can forgive their sins. I wonder if perhaps in our country we haven't become a little bit too complacent, too content with the peace and order and stability that we have, forgetting that God gives this to us in part so that we can make the name of our Lord Jesus Christ known. So let's not be shy to confess our faith. Whatever political discussions we may want to get into, and again, don't do it online, but perhaps over a cup of coffee, let's spend even more time bearing witness to our faith, confessing what we have in the church through Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, life and salvation. And we can rejoice in that gift today. We live in two kingdoms, but today the kingdom of God comes to you here in the church. Today his kingdom comes and forgives you all your sins, forgives you for the anger and the bitterness and the insults and perhaps the hurt that you've been part of. And he also comes to bind up the ways in which you've been wounded. I wonder what it would be like in our world if we Christians actually lived in a fashion like St. Paul says, if we subjected ourselves to the governing authorities, if we regarded them in this way, if we lived decent and peaceable lives, if we showed respect for others, if we confessed our faith. We have a wonderful and tremendous opportunity this year, right now, and in October and in November. And the wonderful opportunity we have is not primarily the opportunity to vote or to go to the ballot box. The opportunity we have is to live as Christians in this time, to bear witness to what we believe, both about God's kingdom, of the way that he rules over the world, and also the way that God comes in his church to forgive sins. And we ought to be praying at this time, praying more than anything else that God's will would be done and that God would continue to provide that peace and order and stability in the world, that his word may go forth. We know who our ruler is. The King of love, my shepherd, is. And he will rule us now with his love and forgiveness in the church. He will care for us in the world through governing authorities, and he will bring us at last into his heavenly kingdom. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So take heart, dear Christians, in this time, in this season. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our church, of our faith. Remember that he rules over his church in mercy, and he also rules over all. So as Christians, we trust in God's mercy for our salvation, and we live in faithful obedience to civil authorities, knowing that they have been instituted by God, and knowing that he is the highest authority of all. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen.